Hello and welcome everybody to the Thing I Love Most show. And my lord, are we loving Tottenham today? I seriously have not come down. I'm so buzzing. It was an amazing night to be there. It was an amazing atmosphere to be a part of. Just over 70,000. I keep on watching the highlights on my phone, and I'm absolutely flying. So we thought we'd do a little special because, you know, we just wanted to talk about the game because it was just such an incredible event. And I mean, my first take on it was, we were talking at half time having beers, and we were saying that we'd take 0-0 because we thought we'd be able to score over there, but we were just nervous of conceding over here and then it affecting obviously the tie in the reverse leg. We were having such a good conversation, it means I missed the actual Sun goal, which was slightly frustrating. After that, I mean, what a performance. What a performance. On BT Sport, Rio Ferdinand was talking about they didn't really change much tactically, but maybe just sort of brought the wing-backs in a little bit. And it wasn't really something that I could notice from where we were. But I'm sure there must have been some sort of tactical switch or just a little bit of a G-up or just, you know, because there seemed to be more focus. There seemed to have a few more ideas. The first half, I found that basically just... it was very much the centre-backs having ball and it was just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Hardly had any much incisive passing moving forward. Moore obviously had a good chance. Eriksen had a decent chance. I was worried about Aurier, if I'm honest. And we can come to him.
Especially after the yellow card.
Oh, my word. We can come to him in a bit because that guy is chalk and cheese. I mean, if you can like literally just create a footballer who's like the most frustrating character, I think it must be him because that cross... but Yam was just absolutely incredible. But up to that point, I mean, he had a couple of good attacking sort of influences, little flick on for Foyt with the run and then a little inside pass to Eriksen. So he was doing good things, but then he was also never tracking back. Sissoko was covering him all the time. And it was like, what are you doing? You've just lost the ball when you're jogging. And it was just like, I couldn't believe it. And then he pulls that cross out the back. So it's like, what do you do with him? How can you be mad at someone who's got such potential and can do that, but then do the rest of it? It was like, it was mental. It was like, I was a torn man. And obviously, you know, Super Yan just having the game of his life. Incredible, incredible performance from him. Sissoko again was up there for man of the match for me, just tireless running. You know, he really, really is just carrying the team over the line at the moment. It seems like incredible, incredible work rate. As I said, covering Foyt Moreau so much, back and forth. Really, really incredible. I was disappointed with Moura. I thought Moura could have done a little bit more, which was, you know, annoying because that was a big opportunity for him, I think. And he's still not at the level we require, I think, for the team, which is frustrating. I'm joined this week, before I introduce them, as you can see them if you're watching on YouTube. But I'm joined by Tim Lender once again, all the way from NYC, baby. I think we do something like that. Or, I don't know. Hi, Tim. How are we doing? You all right?
No, good. How are you? Like you, I'm buzzing after yesterday.
Oh, I know. It's wicked. It's wicked. And we've actually just seen the Scum lose as well. So it's been a great,
even
been a
better.
Great couple of days.
It's a great, fantastic 24 hours here.
Absolutely. And then we've got Kurt, Lee Curtin, representing from down south in England. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm very good. Very, very good.
Wicked. Okay, Lee, so I'm going to start with you. Obviously, I spoke about my sort of... worries at half time and how I was assessing the game first half and how I then assessed it second half. When you sat there, you watched it at home, I believe, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when you sat there at home, were you worried, firstly? And then if you were to get offered 0-0, would you have taken it? And then did you expect anywhere near like the performance that we gave second half?
Well, first of all, I don't think anybody's seen the second half performance coming. And I was worried for, the first half an hour, really. I felt we gave them too much respect. We sat back off them far too deep. And I think the idea was that we drew them in and we tried to hit them on the counter with Sonny and Moura. And unfortunately, Foyth and Sanchez, they're not comfortable. They're not comfortable on the ball, and anybody's watching them ain't comfortable. I'm certainly not watching Foyth, Sanchez, and Aurier. They're three out of the four. I'm not comfortable watching them three trying to ping a ball around between them. They make me nervous. Any problems that were seen in the first half, we probably invited half of them on ourselves, for sure. And then afterwards, it was just a case of believing. I mean, Jadon Sancho, he had a half an hour, 35 minutes, where he just kind of got at us. He ran at us. I mean, he gives Sanchez a torrid. I ain't seen anybody turn him inside out like that. You know, he twisted and I think Sanchez paid 70 quid to get back in at one point. So, he done a proper job on him. And you could see, you know, he's a very talented lad. But with players like that, if you stand off them and give them the first 2 yards to stand you up and run at you and unbalance you, they're going to do that to you. And we let him do that. So that was my initial concern. And it got to half time and I thought, it can't get any worse. We can only step it up a little bit. And at which point I was still going for, I think, my prediction of 1-1. I thought we'd come out, we'd just up our game a little bit. We'll nick a goal. But they looked sure to kind of, you know, score. And in saying that, they didn't create many, many chances in that first half. They really didn't. I know they had the better of the ball, and I know they ran at us and got into dangerous areas. Hugo's save again was, you know, fantastic save, kept us in the game. But credit to Foyth at that point, because he got enough on that header to take the power out of it. So fair play, credit where it's due. But we came out the second half, and we tucked Aurier in a little bit. We pushed Jan up a touch more, and we just suffocated the out ball to Sancho. And it kind of goes to show you, as much as we gave him so much respect, their out ball and their get out clause was a ball to a 19-year-old. You know, it really was. It was because he was getting out behind us and down the lines, down the side of us, and he was the one creating the hassle. We suffocated the out ball to him, and actually, in the end, suffocated him out of the game. We took him out of the game. It's not that he just faded, you know, he faded to black. He didn't fade to black. He didn't, you know, he just didn't fade away.
Yeah.
We just stopped the ball getting to him. And in turn, we exposed his weakness. And that's him not tracking back. You know, so all of a sudden, Jan's like, well, you know what, I'm off ski here. You know, and Jan just grabbed the game. He grabbed the game by the horns. And he's been doing that for the last three home games. Last couple of games at Wembley, I've seen he keeps making these marauding runs through the middle, and everyone's going, Jesus, Jan. So that goal was definitely coming. I mean, he had a right footed effort earlier, that went soaring off into like row J or something. So, he took control of the game. The tactics were to kind of push up on them, take the respect away from them, stop the out ball, and impose ourselves on them. So we got the goal. The goal coming as quick as it did was was superb. It was massive. Hell of a pass, hell of a ball, great finish. And after that, they were shocked. They were the ones that looked a little bit stunned. And we just kept pushing. We actually just kept pushing. For the first time in a long time, we didn't sit back, you know, and go, right, well, let's control it from here. Let's go sideways. Let's go out. Let's go back in. Let's go sideways. We actually just kept pushing at them. And it was so good to see.
It's interesting you say that, because actually in the interview afterwards, Jan said that... after going 1-0 up, he felt that Dortmund were happy to take 1-0. Mm-hmm. And that he didn't feel there was much pressure coming on. So then they just thought, all right, well, if they're just going to sit back, then we are going to go for it. And that's obviously, you know, that's what they did in more ways than one. So, Tim, what was your take?
Well, I mean, you talk about in 10 or 15 minutes of the first half that Spurs just really started to get on the front foot a little bit more and started to attack and carry the ball forward and do more things that didn't necessarily result in any great chances, but the ball was in Dortmund's half of the field and you know, our lads were the ones who were you know, controlling the ball, controlling play, pushing forward and actually trying to do something. Whereas like Lee was saying, the first half hour, it was more like we were saying, all right, come at us and let's see if we can do something on the counter, but the counter wasn't working. So at some point, Potch changed things up and said, look, we need to go move forward. We need to attack these guys more because they're not doing anything that we need to be scared of. So let's start moving forward. And in the second half, especially getting the goal so early from Sonny. I mean, first I have to say the cross from Jan on that goal was scrumptious. I mean,
Son's movement as well. If you see, he really goes to the defender and he sprints.
You rarely
see that where someone actually sees that space, but he actually he makes that 2 yards. He really, really actually does. So to then be in the position to then control the shot as it comes over is high quality.
Exactly. But I think Jan's cross might have just hit a couple of hairs on the top of the defender's head as it was coming down to Sonny's boot. And you know, all Sonny had to do, I mean, I'm not saying what Sonny had to do was easy, but the cross was sublime.
Yeah.
And Sonny put it away and the goalie had no chance. So that was fantastic. Who said it didn't seem like Dortmund felt much pressure or felt much urgency that they never said, all right, well, you know, I guess we can go back home and 1-0 isn't such a bad result. And obviously that was their death, because to get the 2 goals late like we did, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we're in the quarterfinals. And I know that's a bold thing to say. I understand history and everything else, but I'd be absolutely amazed if we're not through the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I would also be absolutely distraught. I think we can score in any game, and you know, having Kane and Ali back, that even like compounds that thought. So I think we will score over there, and yeah. I, you know, they've got to score an absolute hat for. So I think you're right. It's still going to be nervy though. You know, it's just the way we are. It's what we do. You know, we just, it's how we live our lives. It's why, you know, got no hair left. It's falling out.
They'll go up 2-0 and then we'll get a goal in the 85th minute.
Yeah.
And then, cause you know, we'll have to have a little bit of the heart palpitations. And have to go through all the sweats and everything
now.
Else.
I'm literally getting now. Why are we even talking about it? Can we just like move on to the Burnley game? No, it's an incredible achievement. An incredible achievement. It really, really is. And I think, you know, they deserve so much credit for that. And obviously Llorente coming on and grabbing a goal, which I think is his only goal coming on as a sub in 34 games or something ridiculous like that. Big Bad Don was saying earlier on in the WhatsApp. It's crazy that he's got that stat, but great for him to come on and be so influential. I wanted more of the players to go over and like celebrate with him. I felt it was a bit on his own. It was a bit like, hey guys.
I've said it before, when he scored the own goal and they all just kind of turned their back on him. I was like, somebody go and give him a hug and tell him it's all right, it's okay.
Yeah.
But Eriksen made a big deal about it, which was always nice. And then Jan actually mentioned, and Sonny both mentioned after they scored their goals, that they both didn't even bother to go and congratulate the guys who gave them the assist.
Right.
So Sonny's like, yeah, I said sorry to Jan because I ran the other way. And Jan said, yeah, I didn't even run over to Serge. I just ran off the other direction. So
yeah.
I think sometimes we probably kind of read a little bit too much into it. But, you know, I think looking at it, there's a unit there now that there's a little bit of belief. I think the boys that maybe didn't have a bit of belief are now looking at somebody like Llorente and going, actually, his contributions are there for us to see. You know, 9 goals and assists in 9 games. Mm. He's done something. He's contributed something here. So he's a part of the team, whether we like it or not, you know. But so there's a unit there and it's nice. And I think Moura, you touched on Moura earlier. I've said about Moura in the past. For me, for him to be effective, he has to be out wide.
Yeah.
He has to be out wide. I think playing him through the middle, it's not that he's got a bad touch. I think he just moves at such a pace that he just runs into the next man. And when you're in the middle of the park, they're going to stack up on you. You know, you're talking about 4 or 5 men. You go past 2 midfielders and then the central defender steps out onto you. Mm-hmm. He needs to be out on the wing. And I think he probably needs to be coming in off the wing if we're going to see any real results with him. But listen, there was a time last year or before we signed when we were screaming out for somebody like him to be added to our squad. You know, so he's part of the squad and he has got the pedigree. He ain't informing. I don't think he's up with everybody else, but I think to see the best of him and to give him that chance, I would keep him out wider.
I think he's just, I don't think he's strong enough. I just think on the ball, I think he just gets brushed off far too easily. I know he's not a big guy. I'm not expecting him to, like, you know, suddenly become a Hulk. But, like, I just think that, you know, we're the Champions League and the English Premier League, they're tough. And you don't get the time on the ball like you have in other leagues. And because of that fact, you need to make sure that when you do have that first touch, you know what to do with it before you get barged or before. And I just think sometimes it's just, he's technical, but there's just something missing from his game. But also his confidence, you know, you can see that he needs a goal. And he's been very effective in the other Champions League games. Obviously, he got the equaliser in Barcelona, and he got a goal in PSV. So, you know, he's got the pedigree for us this season in the Champions League, and he's been vital. So, not knocking him, but I just think he's not from him.
Yeah, no, sorry, don't cut you off. Let's not forget he was a post whipped away from an absolute cracker last night.
Yeah,
you know, he took the paint off the post, and that could have been a game changer right there, even for him.
Sure.
You know, so it's, you know, in a blink of an eyelid, that can be football for you sometimes. So I think him out wide, I think his touch, and I don't think his control is close enough for him to be in the middle of the park. It's too crowded. Keep him out wide and create from out there where there's a bit more space.
And also let him get a little head of speed up. Let him dribble and let him get going, as opposed to trying to get a pass, turn, and then have to beat one or two guys. And like you said, I mean, his touch, it's just a tiny bit off right now. Like Lee said, if you're in the middle of the park and your touch is a tiny bit off, there's going to be one or two or three guys there waiting to say, thank you very much for the ball, and we're going the other way now. So that's, to me, that's been Moore's problem. That one shot, had that had a little bit of swerve on it, Moore now has a nice bit of confidence to him, because that was a cracker of a shot.
Yeah.
I think as well, I'm hoping that the fact that Aurier did contribute in such a way will give him some confidence, because you could tell last night that he did want to do better, but he just didn't have that desire to really, really push on, which he needs to have in that right wing back role. But with Trippier out of form, you know, I'm you know, more than happy for him to try it. If Poch seems to think he's better than Kai Walker-Peters, I'm not sure if that's correct myself, but I still think that it would have been a good thing for him to be able to be involved like that. And I'm sure that his teammates would have bigged him up for it, and you know, they would have said, yeah, more like that. Do you know what I mean? You know, that's what you can do. That's why don't just do the little Trippier little like pass backs down the line again. Like, drive and do that, you know, because you've got the talent to do it. He has got it in his locker, and that's just the most frustrating thing for him. I can't think of any other player like it.
No, and I feel sorry for Walker Peters. Not in the mix there, and you know, didn't even make the bench in that last night. And I look at Walker Peters, and I know some people probably still say young and got time and got stuff to learn. I just don't think after the Barcelona experience and after his World Cup experiences at the youth level, I don't think any game's too big for Walker Peters. I genuinely don't. I just think he just needs to play. He's going to make the odd error if you're coming in after every 10, 11, 12 games and you're thrust in straight into action. I look at him and think he would learn so much just being involved. So,
yeah.
But you know,
you know, even the mistake he did make against Barcelona, he still recovered. He got booked, and then he you know, he was taken off after about 60 minutes, but he was still had a good game after that one mistake. And you know, as we know, everyone makes mistakes. And then also he came on against Bournemouth. He started against Bournemouth, and he had three assists in the first half. Recently, he's been played out of position. He's been played on left wing back against Palace in the cup with Nkudu, which was obviously, as we know, the wrong choice of player. And then he brought him on the other day for Rose or Trippier, whoever it was, can't remember. And again, it was like, you're playing him on the left and he's right footed. It's just like frustrating. Frustrating, Tim.
Well, I'm sure he's a little bit frustrated as well. I mean, because he's had moments where like you said, three assists in the first half in that one game where he's shown what kind of player he can be and shown those flashes of brilliance. But it's a matter of being consistent, and that's that in the Premier League level. That's the biggest issue for a player. You have to be consistent. You can't just show a flash one game where you have a magnificent game, and then the next game you're complete crap, and that's not going to cut it. So that, I think, but I think that the other issue, you know, the flip side of that is that you can't do that without game time. You know, and Llorente is a perfect example of that. So many people slag him off and say, oh, he's terrible. Why do we have him? Sell him, get rid of him, because he doesn't do anything. But how much game action has he gotten? And now in the last few weeks with Harry Kane sidelined, here comes Llorente, and he's a lot of people might not like his game. He's not quick. He's not flashy. He just kind of is a plodding, you know, big guy who's just, you know, kind of sits in the middle of the 18-yard box. But get him some service, and he'll actually make something happen for you. And it took you saw when he first came on, after Kane got hurt, he looked terrible that first game because he hadn't had any game. You know, you can practice all you want, but you need to be out there in a game experience. Now he looks comfortable. I mean, look at him yesterday. What was he on for 7 minutes? He scores a goal. So, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be the answer to our problems, because obviously as soon as Harry Kane comes back, Llorente will be back on the bench. But for what he has done for this club since Harry Kane was hurt, it's almost like a new signing.
Because his goal was...
Here's production from a guy that we never expected to get production from.
And his goal last night was proof that you could see how his confidence has come back and his sharpness, because he didn't just stand there and hit it. His movement, he left his marker, right, and moved on to the other man. He showed, like, you know, I'm back here. I'm confident enough. I know how to work myself around the 18 yard and the 6 yard box. And it was goal as well. Like, you know, don't underestimate it. I know he's like 3 yards out and he's flicked his header in, but he's come off his own defender onto another one, moved him out of the way and got his flick on it. So there's something that we never seen before. We was only talking 2 weeks ago, Noel, when he was saying it's hitting him on the head, it's hitting him on the shoulder.
And well, he did that on Saturday as well. Yeah. Did it Sunday against Leicester, he missed a sitter.
And if it just seemed to be out a little bit, but you can see it, you know, the way he dribbled against Leicester, he took the ball down and went on a little like 5-6 yard dribble before laying it off nicely. So you can see it's coming to him now. Probably just a shame that it's coming just as Harry says, I'm fit again.
Well, you know, I'm happy to have him back. Good options from the bench, you know. It's all good.
Listen, 100%, 100%.
So, obviously, you know, we're not getting too far ahead of ourselves, but are we going to win the Champions League?
Shh! It's a secret.
Come on. Didn't I get grief for saying we were going to the quarterfinals?
You totally did.
Yeah, I was lifting the cup.
Listen, I'm Mr. Negative when it comes to that outlook. Not, you know, it's just
I am curious who might play in the next round.
Oh man, I can't believe it. I was gonna maybe go to Dortmund, but now I'm like, I'm gonna wait and save my holiday and save my money and go to the next round, because, you know, we're there. Oh god, if we get knocked out now, please don't ever play this to us. Oh god,
I'll just wait.
This is just terrible. What are we doing? This is terrible.
It's good thinking. Save the money. Save the money for the next round.
we put together a good performance for the first part of the leg, and we turned up. We did a good job, and we have to kind of mention that Poch's awareness and tactical nous, in terms of, we often criticise him for lack of sometimes. Mm. You know, he didn't change the personnel. He just changed the way, a couple of little tweaks on positional sense, how to shut the ball off to Sancho and move 10 yards up the pitch and play from there. And that, you know, that's got to go. That's got to be mentioned. So from the management down to the players who started, to the subs that came on, they put together a hell of a job last night. And we're just showing, you know, we should be in the last eight. We should be in the last eight. And when you look around, you know, is there anybody really, you know, is there anybody really to be scared of when you look at it? You know, I'm not saying, don't get me
Madrid,
wrong. I'm not saying,
Madrid should have been beaten last night. You know, Ajax had so many chances.
Exactly. And they're getting not thumped, but they're getting pulled all over their league, Madrid. Do you know what I mean? There's no runaway games with them anymore because, right, you know, give the ball to Christian. Those days are over. You know, so it can be. You've got to look at it and go, listen, if you turn up and do the right thing on the right day, you've got a chance of progressing in this final, this Champions League final stages. You've got a chance.
I would also like to remind the people who are listening and watching this. This we're talking about a team that everybody and anybody condemned as they were done in the first round. They're not making it out of the group. Mm. It's never going to happen. You're done. I mean, how many people were on that bandwagon where it was Spurs are out? There's no way they can get to the next round. And here we are now talking about them. I'll say that for you, Noel.
Yeah,
going to the quarterfinal. So how much have Spurs accomplished in this competition and matured along the way? They got the result at Barcelona that they needed. And yes, did they get a little bit of help? Yes, they did. But now, yesterday, it doesn't get much better than that. I mean, no. I to do that without two of our top players, if not our two top players, is just absolutely remarkable. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, especially the second half, we bossed Dortmund all over the field.
Yeah.
Or pitch.
I think we are looking a lot more mature. And actually, looking at the amount of Champions League games that both teams have played, our side actually had played more, which is obviously quite interesting to see, because obviously we're not necessarily a Champions League side, as you might say, but in comparison to the two teams, we had more Champions League experience. And I think that showed in the second half. And mm-hmm. I think we have learned from those games recently. We have learned from the Juventus home defeat. We learned to sort of just be tactically, be a bit more aware and react to the other team, which we didn't do on the day. But we still came back, obviously, in the first leg against Juve. And obviously this competition, some amazing performances to get. I mean, the Barcelona match was just incredible. And, you know, to get over the line against Inter and PSV when it did look like it was all dead and buried was testament to our team and the management. So let's see how we go. Let's just all calm down a little bit. And then, we'll have a chat.
It's actually hard to be calm after yesterday.
It's actually my birthday that day as well. It's played on my birthday, March the 5th. So it's going to be one horrendous birthday if it doesn't happen. So we got a nice few days off now, which is good for the players. Poch said he's going to allow them to just chill out for a few days, which is going to be good. They definitely deserve it after the last excursions that they've been experiencing. And obviously we do want our injured players to come back fully fresh. So we're not involved in the FA Cup this weekend. So it's FA Cup weekend, so we do get the weekend off. But we are able to preview the Burnley game, which is coming up on the 23rd, on Sunday the 23rd, I believe. So Burnley are a bit of a hit and miss team this season. They're just a strange team, aren't they? There's a few teams in the league like that. It's sort of like they can play really well one week and turn teams over, and the next week they can get turned over themselves. And defensively, they look solid, and then they just, you know, let in a few howlers, and you know, they're a strange team. I find none of the attackers are that great, but they sort of just, they're quite industrious, and you know, I think they've got Crouchy now, haven't they? So you know, they've even gone for the big man, which would be nice to see. How do you think the game's going to go? Do you think Kane's going to start? Do you think he's going to be rushed back in, or do you think we're going to leave him? And obviously we've got the Chelsea game coming up after that. Better to get some game time. How would you play it, Tim?
I would certainly not have Harry Kane starting. I think Poch probably would put him in maybe for the last 30 minutes. Hopefully we won't need a goal in those last 30 minutes. The thing that concerns me is after a match like the Dortmund match, there tends to be a letdown. And that's my concern. I think that under normal circumstances, Burnley is a team that we should beat 3-0 and we should be able to control and dominate the match. I really have my concerns of what might happen next Sunday, because I certainly could see maybe 1-0 happening in this match and really having to go the full 90 minutes to grind out a win. But I don't foresee Poch starting Harry Kane. I think it would be better to have him go maybe 30 minutes, let him kind of get his feet wet, let him get used to some game action again, but let's not ask too much of him, and especially with Chelsea coming up, Who knows what Chelsea is going to show up? I mean, everything you just said about Burnley probably could be said about Chelsea at this point this after the 6-0 to Man City. Yeah. So, but let's make sure that Kane is ready for that match, and because obviously Chelsea will be a more determined opponent, and especially with some of the history that we have with them over the last couple of years, it's been some very nasty matches. So yeah. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm really looking at 1-0. And like I said, I think Kane gets 25, 30 minutes.
I think I would have agreed with you with regards to the sort of potential banana skin if it was this Sunday. But I think that extra time will allow them to refocus to, you know, really sort of like get back in the league frame of mind and prepare themselves. So I think we're benefiting quite a lot from the FA Cup in that respect. I think we would have struggled if it was this weekend, because obviously it was, you know, it was an amazing achievement. It was an amazing night yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the players put in a big effort. And obviously it's mentally, it does take quite a lot out of you, even if you are winning. Strangely enough. So I think, yeah, for me, I think we should go there when we should be pretty comfortable. But you never know. I mean, there is no easy games in the Premier League. We all know that. And it's been proven many a time. You know, Newcastle beating Man City the other day was testament to that. So I don't think we should be overly confident, but you know, we should hope that we've got the players, you know, Son's hitting some real form. And I think, you know, we should have enough to overcome them. Lee, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, agreed with the Spursy comment. You know, batter someone midweek and then go and make hard work of a Burnley game. So, fully agree with that in terms of we've got an extra week to just push the reset button. You know, wipe the slate clean and just go at them again from scratch. So. Yeah, I'm thinking we'd probably do them by two goals. So I'd go for a 2-0 or a 3-1. It won't be easy. They've got Ashley Barnes there, and he's probably one of the most underrated players in the kind of lower half teams. You know, with respect to them, I quite like him as a player. He's got a bit about him. He nicks a goal, and he tends to do it against the bigger clubs. So. We can't take them for granted, that's for sure. Mm. And I know since Tom Heaton's returned, that I think they're going quite well in 12 games, the last 12 games he's returned as well. So they're no mugs, but I think the break will serve as well. And I think we should, you know, in theory, go there and do a job on them. Harry Kane, I'd still be very inclined just to use him. And I know we need to get him game time and find that sharpness as we allude to with Llorente and stuff all the time. I'm a bit torn with that one. Mm. I still feel like it's too soon. You know, we projected March and here is February and I know he wants to play and I know that he's, you know, he's worked hard and the medical team have done what they've had to do. But there is part of me that still says, hang on a minute, if they said March and now here you are rocking up in the third week of February, you know, listen, it'd be a bench for me. And if we need him, we need him. And I'll go like 20 minutes, half hour. If we don't need him, I'd be very inclined to just leave him off and let him run himself out, you know, fully exhaust himself out against Chelsea and go from there. That would be my take. But we have enough in the locker to deal with them. So, you know, I'm going two clear goals.
I think my concern is set pieces, because they're a pretty decent team with set pieces, and we still don't look to be comfortable from that, and we do seem to be conceding far too many from that. I don't really know if there's an answer to it, apart from obviously just, you know, better concentration and just, you know, Hugo not being a knob. But it's just, you know, what can you do to prevent that? It's just, I don't know.
They still pass the responsibility on, though. No, I still look around and I've studied it a few times. And they're still very comfortable just standing in an area and passing a man over. A lot of the time, they just pass him on. And I'm not too sure how clear their communication is or how good their communication is. But they are very kind of like laps and comfortable, you know. You pick him up. Who? Yeah, that geezer has just gone to the back post. Oh. they are, you know, when you look at the goals from set pieces, some of it is very, very shoddy for a team of our level. It's shoddy. And I think with the players we got there, you know, them boys are banging around 200, 300 international caps between them. You know, we need to be doing a bit better than that at the back for sure.
Agreed. But I will point out, now I don't want to sound like I'm Llorente's agent, but his first touch yesterday, I'm sure you guys remember this, was a clearance off a corner.
Yeah.
And his second touch was the goal. So what right place, right time.
Brilliant.
Everybody's got to help.
He's listening, Tim. I'm sure you'll be in touch.
Oh, he definitely listens.
I think he will.
He definitely listens. Yeah, he loves the show. Fantastic, guys. All right. Well, thanks so much once again for your assistance. Thank you from all the way across the seas in NYC. Thank you to Tim Leonard, and thank you for Lee for somewhere a little bit closer to home. So lack of effort, really, you know, was just not as much. So, but thank you anyway. Appreciate your wisdom as always. So that's the end of the show, folks. Thank you very much for watching and listening once again. So we're available on all the social media channels if you do want to get in touch with the show. We're going to be answering more questions next week as well. If there's any questions that you do want to ask any of the panel, then please do get them in. So we're on Instagram, we are on Twitter, Facebook, and of course YouTube, where you can potentially see us now. So it's available on Audio Boom as well, where you can listen to it in podcast form. It's TTILM Show on all the Twitter handles and Instagram, like, and The Thing I Love Most Show on Facebook and on YouTube. So thank you very much for watching and listening. We do appreciate your support as always. If you do want to come on the show, it's quite simple. You just need a Skype set up, and then away you go, and you can come and join in the conversation with us. So we're always happy to get more people involved, as you can see with Tim joining us today once again. So thanks very much for watching, and we'll see you next time. And hopefully we'll have three more points in the bag with Burnley. Come on, you Spurs.